Hello and welcome to episode 316 of the Hooniverse podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Glucker. Joined as always is my boy, Ron Baugh. What are you doing, Ron?
Hey, hanging.
Good, good, good. We have got an excellent guest for you this week. Say hello to my friend, Jared DeAnda.
Yo, do I say hello to myself or do people say hello to me?
It's like we're talking to it. I'm pretending there's an audience. So they're along for the journey. Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Everybody, please stop. Stop. No, seriously, please don't stop.
Jared is the voice of Formula Drift. He's a broadcast announcer for Nitro Rallycross, and he's Need for Speed's own Big J. Most important, really, though, he's a Shift Talkers winner. Congratulations on that.
Oh, yeah. It's Malik Company. What's up?
Oh, gosh, Ron. Is that a trophy behind you? The Shift Talkers? I didn't get a trophy. Ron, you got a trophy?
100%. Talk to Jeff about that.
Yeah, his trophy is he's chained to this podcast now. I normally we set some stuff up, but our audience already has a good idea of who you are and all that stuff.
They know
who you are. We ran that great series thanks to our mutual friend Sam Nalvin for a few years ago, Driver on Driver, which was like the coolest series we ever did on Hooniverse. And you had one of the best episodes where you guys all like jumped him in the car. It was great. That was good shit.
I love that. And yeah, I love Sam, our mutual buddy drift idiot. And when he iced me, right? Like, didn't he
did.
Put like a huge ice under my seat and I chugged it and burped profusely in his face, which is probably the best. So go ahead and roll the tape.
Didn't he? Yeah. Right. I can probably find the clips. Wasn't that like end of season for yours or cause there's one where like Frederick Osbo looks hammered and you never see Osbo hammered.
Yeah. I think it was mid season for me. I think we were in Texas. So it was like mid season, but yeah, Osbo, he got him off guard. I mean, you know what? I love looking at old content. And sometimes people, you know, say like, oh, bring it back or do this or do that. You just got to let it live. You know, I mean, it's like for me, I was part of a really early magazine called TMR, Toy Machine Racing. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I worked there.
And is it related to the skate company?
Not at all. Not at all. There was never a cease and desist because Todd Swank was actually cool. So Todd Swank owns all of the Toy Machine family of brands called Swank Co., I believe it's actually called. But no, he didn't. But TMR was all Tuner Magazine, and I say all this because everybody's like, bring it back. And it's a bygone era. Like, we did the off-track produced by Network A, and that was just a fun, whimsical show ripping on people doing fun stuff. But yeah, Sam and his Driver on Driver, that was awesome. I love that.
That was fun. You were involved in the early street racing scene. What was that like pre Fast and Furious era stuff? What was that world like?
Where in particular? Because street racing was different, like across the country. True. You were on the West Coast, like in the, what I know, even being from Atlanta, to be like the nexus, like the hub of street racing, even in Southern California.
Yeah, I grew up in San Diego. So growing up in San Diego, there were tracks all over the place. Tracks were just straightaways, right? So when I was in high school and my buddies had Civics and Integras and all that, and I eventually got an EK Civic hatchback, and that was kind of my hot rod. But the tracks all over, so you had Firehouse, you had Upper Sereno, Lower Sereno, just iconic tracks. And if you talk to anybody from San Diego, like Nick Vosekis from Falcon Tires, like we are cut from that same cloth. There's so many like old school cats that would rip around San Diego. It's funny, the website Throttle, their offices are considered Upper Sorrento. So where their office is an old quote unquote street racing track. So that's a short conversation that I always say to people. I said, dude, I've been doing this for so long. I'll be 44 this year. And I'd say, dude, I grew up street racing before they made the movie Fast and Furious about what we were doing.
Right.
I went to Tokyo Auto Salon in 1999. Like that's how like, you know, old school I am. So my back hurts. but it was just cool. It was kind of, again, just like old school media. It's a bygone era. It's cool. We can never relive it. What I always like to say, and this is like in regards to even drifting after Formula Drift in this 2022 year, it'll be 19 seasons of Formula Drift. I like to say that make today a good old day. People say, oh, those are the good old days. Those are good old days. Make today a good old day. At some point, we will look back on this right now. And, you know, we're seeing all the EFs and EGs and EKs. You can't buy one for a hatchback for under 10 grand.
Right, so, right.
It was a great era. It was a good era, man.
So you had the – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ron.
I was just going to ask, was it strictly imports? Because, like, in Atlanta, where I'm from, like, there were two different subsets, but it was mostly, you know, American Muscle. So like, I know it was different on the West Coast, and like a lot of my friends, I came out here in 1998 for school. I went to USC, and that was like my first real introduction to like the Honda Acura, like import scene. Like that just, that it may have existed in Atlanta, but we didn't really mesh. Like our street racing scene was all Mustangs, Camaros, Firebirds, Vets, Grand Nationals, that kind of stuff.
You were like Lucas Black showing up in Tokyo Drift, like walking into the parking garage being like, what? What, yeah. What are these, all these dang tuner cars?
Well, I mean, it's funny because Ron, your car is total representation of yourself. It's kind of, it's got the kind of artsy, your Fox body. So your right, Mustang right. is like, it's got kind of artsy anime wide body. It's the J American Fox body. It's the JDM USDM.
Totally inspired by a trip to the yeah. Tokyo Auto Salon in 2014 that like blew my mind and totally changed my perception of what was, I don't know, acceptable or what was cool. Like I was like, holy shit, these guys have been doing it right for like decades. And I just wasn't exposed to that. And once I was, it was like, all right, I think I can do something with this.
Yeah. So to answer your question, it was a melding and a meshing, but you have to consider in San Diego, there's a large Asian community. And then in Mira Mesa, which is the heart of it, a large Filipino community. So you get a lot of Gen 1, you know, Asian Americans, right? So Gen 1, meaning that their parents brought them or they had them in the States, right? So they would get the hand-me-down cars. So they'd get their EF, they'd get their Accords, they'd get their EGs, you know, and they'd get Camrys, you'd get whatever, you know? Yeah. So that kind of large Asian influence, it forced that tuner culture. You'd get the American guys out there. You would get your Wicked Stangs, that car club back in the day. And you'd get, you know, you'd get your American cars, but the Diamond Star stuff was really big back then. I mean, the Diamond, the, you know, the 4GE was making big power, 2Js. And then what do we got? Oh, there we go. A little Diamond Star. Is that hat broken? Oh no. No, it's good.
How dare you, sir?
Oh, I love your license plate more than anything. Your duh car.
It's the best part of the truck.
Oh my gosh. That plate. Every time I see that, I love your plate, your duh car. It was a mash culture, but I chose to hang around the tuner culture, you know, and then that's what it was.
Sweet. And I also want to back up for those of you who don't know Tokyo Drift. The character name I said wasn't a reference to Ron. The character's name was Lucas Black. I just want to clear that out.
I thought you said Lewis Black, and I was no,
Lucas Black,
stand-up comedian coming
like
in here.
Country bumpkin, dude.
Yeah, Lucas Black was the dude who got transferred to his dad's place. That was the name of the dude who like turns the 2J, throws it in the Mustang.
Yeah, you just got canceled, Jeff. You just called him Lucas Black, and you're like, okay, Lucas White. I don't know what's the movie?
Together we own Lucas Oil.
Remember Zach and Miro make a porno, and what's he say? He's like, you got to work on Black Friday. He's like, oh. Black man, I got to work on Black Friday. Dude, that go and roll that tape there, Jeff. You can roll that one.
I need the buttons. You know what's funny about this program, though, is I don't think I played it in the last episode that I finished with Nick. It has some buttons at the top where I can do.
Oh, yes. Let's go.
No, I didn't think I'd use it, but we might have to actually use it. That's really funny. So you get into the scene, obviously fosters your love of cars, and you grow and things happen, and then we're going to jump ahead. Do you remember your first FD event as an announcer?
Absolutely. It was, 2004, Atlanta, Ron's backyard, Road Atlanta, Braselton, Georgia. I never had any previous announcing chops at all. I always tell people, so my kind of testimonial is that I was the kid that read aloud in class. I always raised my hand and would read aloud. Not a great student, just a kind of sidebar here as far as me being a student. I am terrible, didn't go to college, dropped out of junior college because I didn't want to get my civic door dinged. But even in high school, the seating chart, you know, you'd have like, okay, Jeff sits here, Ron sits here, right? And you kind of see all this. In the seating chart in my science class, there was a square outside of the door. And that was Jared's seat because I'd get kicked out every day of class because I would just make jokes and all this shit. And like, you know, it was great. Sorry, I won't cuss.
But you're allowed to swear.
Okay, fuck yeah.
Cuss it up.
So 2004, Formula Drift Atlanta, no previous experience of announcing any public events. And to be honest, the drifting culture wasn't really widely popular. I mean, it was, I remember seeing Run Free body kits when I worked at Group 5 Motorsports and seeing videos, but drifting wasn't really hitting then. I mean, I remember when I first saw drifting on American soil, and that was Drift Show Off, and that was like Drifter X and the Signal dudes like Chunky Bye, and I was like, holy crap, because you got to date back to 2003. Import drag racing was imploding because it was cannibalizing itself, because right. you had only so many pool of drivers that were built cars that were fast enough that weren't embarrassing, right? Because Ron, you're talking about the American versus import. Right. There was no replacement for displacement.
Right.
So when Stefan Papadakis finally did do an NHRA run, that was awesome. That was groundbreaking. That was rad. But import drag racing, there were so many sanctioning bodies and only taken from so many people. So it was just grenading. So the industry was falling short. Products weren't being sold. Logistically, it was just, you're shooting for the moon. What? Front wheel drive, drag race. This doesn't make sense. You're proving Isaac Newton wrong. You're pulling the car. You know, you want to push it.
Right.
And so all that being said, when I first saw drifting, I was like, yo, the cars look ill. You're going to sell parts. There's more personality. And here we are coming, here I am, you know, growing up in San Diego, you know, skateboarding, BMX, surfing. I understood amplitude yeah. and subjectiveness.
Yeah, so it felt like an adventure. It felt like an action sport.
Right. It was more akin to that. So when Ryan Sage and Jim Lau said, hey, man, you know, you're charismatic. Why don't you try this 2004? I messed up saying different cars, and you know, like I wasn't big in the, you know, in the rear wheel drive space. So I learned going along. So I always tell people, yeah, I've progressed with the sport as well. Just like drifting, you see now the rocket ships that are built and competing are bonkers. So I like to think, you know, I'm a 1,000 horsepower rocket ship of a voice now, you know?
Yeah. You've evolved with the sport. Right.
Yeah.
Were you the first FD announcer, or was there
first
somebody
and only
you?
Baby yeah. since 2004 right. round one Atlanta. And I always say this because Ryan Sage is actually stepping down in 22 out of the announcer's booth because he is assuming the role now of president of Formula Drift.
Right.
I am the only person to see every single Formula Drift competition run.
Wow.
Because Ryan would run around. He wasn't in the booth. He's, you know, doing things. I have seen every single Formula Drift run since 2004. Only thing I can't claim is every single run, because notably Ron Carr, AKA Ron Zaris,
yeah,
I officiated his wedding on New Jersey Friday qualifying. So I missed qualifying in New Jersey to officiate his wedding.
That's
and then amazing. It was conveniently in Jersey so I could make the round of competition on Saturday.
That's wild.
That's it.
That's a cool story. So, you know, you have a habit, or you're known for doling out nicknames. Do you have a favorite that you've given someone?
Lucas Black. I think that's the one. No, I mean, I like Passionate Pat Gooden. That one comes to mind because he's just I love his mom, Donna, and Donna loves me. And Pat doesn't know this, but we'll just air it, put it out there. He is Whoa. My son. He is my son. So, no, I'm joking. You know, Captain Clutch Kick, that one didn't really stick for Von Gittin Jr. Chris the Force Forsberg is, I think, probably one of the best because he does look like a young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
When he had his beard. So it
and now really he has, the gold car, gold leader or something like that,
oh,
too?
Yeah. Yeah. Z, his Datsun, the gold leader.
I got to tell a story about that car real quick since you Please brought up Forsberg, because this is hilarious shit. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned this in a podcast before, but I was invited out to Streets of Willow. They were showing off that car because they were also showing off maybe one of the Clarion cars, because he was doing stuff with Clarion at the time. And I forget, it might have been the supercharged NSX. I'm not 100% what they were showing off.
Yeah, it was. I remember that.
But then we got to go for laps. We got to drive that. But then Chris got to drive us around in the car, which like literally just got finished. And then we were going to get to hop in and drive it. And it was a tricky car to drive. Cause it's like, I think it was a big single turbo. So like, I thought I was revving it. I'm not even getting into boost, but before I go around streets, he gives me a lap and I look down. I'm like, hey, is the parking brake supposed to still be on? He looks down and goes, oh shit. Cause it has a separate hydraulic brake that if right. he wants to send it, but it had like the standard old 280Z parking brake, and it was up. He goes, shh, and he clicks it down. I was like, oh boy.
That's funny.
Yeah. And
Chris
for a
Forsberg
while
did not get the win. He did
no
not get the win
and
that
and
time.
For a while on his Instagram, if he posts something about a car, I'd be like, hey, is the parking brake on? And he would just do like a little smile and whatever. Has anyone ever gotten mad at a nickname?
Yeah, I called Ken Gushi. What did I call him? Kamikaze. Like, and he's like, yeah, it's just not
right.
It's just not the bag because, you know, if you think about the history of kamikaze and all that, I was thinking more of, you know, Japanese soldier, like not thinking dive bomb and Pearl Harbor or anything like that. But that it just, you know, sometimes you, you know, again, you can't choose your own nickname. I will tell you, Reese Mad Skills Millen did give himself his own nickname. Love Reese. But when you call yourself Mad Skills, and he purely got that from Napoleon Dynamite.
Did he pass you a note? Like how did he initiate that?
Did you ever hear the story of, so back in the day, like it was a Tuesday. No, Formula Drift, we'd have driver introductions and they could choose their own music.
Oh.
So the one of the greatest stories was, you know, okay, you know, have a driver's meeting. Okay. You know, you get to go out there and wave and we'll play your song. Right. Well, Tony Angelo, who we all know, Hot Rod Garage Show and formerly Formula Drift judge and
Shift Talkers competitor.
Yep. Shift Talkers competitor. Another shifter. Another shifter. Oh my gosh. Jeff, let it go, bro. Let it go. Is Shift Talkers still going? Yeah, are we doing more?
We're waiting on word on season three. I mean, unofficially, it's the cheapest show they produce, so it'd be a brainless choice. And I've heard rumblings that they're making some decisions towards the positive, but I have no news.
Well, I hate to tell you this. I'm the new host, and you're not doing it anymore, so I apologize.
Well, congratulations. Can I be a guest at least?
Yeah. You and Tony Angelo and Ron.
So battle of the champions?
Yeah. So, Tony, funny story. So, again, everybody submits their CDs. Well, Tony Angelo whips
CDs.
Up
whips up
a CD and puts, like, RMR sticker on the CD, Reese Millen intro, and gives and like just slides it in with the stack for the DJ. Says Reese Millen on it, right? So when Reese goes out there, the song plays and it's I Came from the Land Down Under. I Came from the Land Down Under, right?
Which
I just smiled and gave him a Vegemite
Zealand
sandwich, which is funny because that's Australian, but he's right. A Kiwi.
Yeah. So, it's like offensive.
Yeah. It's like calling your buddy Lucas Black.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm gonna beat that.
No, please stay with the joke. I like it.
Yeah. So that was a great story.
Nice. Has anybody thrown nicknames back your way?
Yeah, I usually cry. But it usually has to do with my stature. Like, I have a ginormous head. I have if you wear new era hats, I wear 7 7/8.
Yeah.
Like,
hey.
Yeah, that's a big one. Nobody's really thrown nicknames. I've always had the idea. I thought it would be fun to, because at the Formula Drift banquet at the end of the year, I host it and I traditionally get pretty lit and it's fun. And I think it's cool until somebody gets triggered and offended, and it's not my intention. It's like,
of course,
it's like, you know, I want to get lit, but I don't want to make fun of anybody. But anyways, I would think it would be cool to do a roast. But I'm like, you guys roast me first.
Right.
But my wife's like, babe, that is a terrible idea. You are highly sensitive. You will cry. Like, it'll be bad. Like, I can definitely give it out, but I can't take it. I'm a softie, bro.
Nice.
Yeah. I put up a photo on Instagram the other day, and it had me flicking off the camera. It was of me and my buddy Mikey Ojeda, Bleach Design Works. Shout out to Bleach Design Works. He builds some awesome motorcycles. And James Kirkham took a photo of me, and I'm flicking off the camera. And I posted it and I said, hey, everybody, and it was just something that was in my head because everybody considers me as like, oh, he's a big teddy bear and da da da. So I just wrote something to the effect of, I'm a big teddy bear, but, you know, and I have feelings on stuff, but keep in mind, bears have teeth and sharp claws. So you never know what you're going to get. You know what I mean? So just kind of building a stance. Admittedly, Rutledge Wood calls me. He says, do you love me? I say, yeah. He says, do you trust me? I said, yeah. He says, take it down. That's not a good look, bro. Like, it just, you have people that love you and you don't need to put that. I was like, you know what? Good point. And dude, it was crazy because prior to me deleting it, cause it sat up for about 30 minutes. And I was driving to LA. I was actually driving a race service and so many people were like, heck yeah, bro. Like, right on. Tell, like,
fuck
the haters.
Okay, you know? Shit.
Yeah. But, I say all that because, you know, nicknames and, again, I am just a big soft teddy bear, and I'm absolutely blessed to, you know, talk to you guys or to get to do cool stuff. And I mean, it's incredible that just a 6'4", you know, 260 pound white boy from San Diego has traveled the world, and I get to talk shit for a living, bro. Like, it's pretty bonkers.
Yeah. Well, I was going to introduce you as either Jared Demanda or Jared DePanda, but DePanda, you know, might have been work, but that seems like it's just low hanging. Like, that's easy. The rhyme that's stuff is easy.
Yeah, was it Sam usually calls me that too, actually. It's so funny.
Okay.
Like, and then Gerard the Damager, like that's a good there's one there. J-Rod was like an early moniker, and I just deaded it cuz I'm like, what did I see? I saw an Instagram post that Jim Lau, actually former president of Formula Drift, now at PRI, he put something. He says it was something to the effect of, you know, when you're born a Jim, you really have verbatim. Yeah. Dudes named James have so much pressure at an early age. Will they stick with the nerdy name James or go by the business casual name Jim or the sporty outgoing Jimmy or the feminine gentle name Jamie or be super goofy and go Jimbo? Yeah. You know? So
I saw that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Good one. So what do you see as the evolution for the sport?
Oh, we didn't go over this. Which we usually do at the start. What are we sipping on?
Oh, sorry. We were chatting casual about it before you got here. No. You were in the green room. You. This is a perfect segue for me because I wanted to grab another one. So you two talk about what you're drinking.
All right, Ron. Okay. What are you drinking, bud?
I'm drinking Corralejos Reposado Tequila, and I need a refill. And that's actually what reminded me to ask. But actually, I saw you take a sip of something. I assume it's some craft beer because you are.
Actually, but here real quick, because I didn't know how long this podcast was going to go. I just want to let you know that that's one glass, that's two glass, and that's three glasses. So I am sipping.
You're
on,
smarter man than I.
I'm sipping on a Monkish, which is a banging brewery. Monkish is in LA. It's a double dry hop, double IPA. It's called Planet's Gotta Roll. So that's a banger. In my beer.
You,
you don't like drinking bong water, Ron?
Yeah,
no.
That is a good description of an accident.
It's usually an accident when that happens.
Yeah, you're like, whoa.
Well, it's funny. It's funny that Ron's getting up because in the last episode that aired, I forgot to edit out a 2-minute pee break and re-up of the alcohol. Like people were like, some people were like, "That's the funniest shit ever." Like we literally in the middle of the podcast, and I usually if it happens, I just edit it out. Because I do so a little tiny bit of post production to add some images and stuff like this, and in the last episode that we just recorded, I apologized for it. But some people are like, "That was the funniest shit." They're like, "I actually needed to go to the bathroom too."
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I was like, "Okay, it worked out." But
so I'm drinking a Monkish double dry hop, but I also have a vodka soda here, a massive vodka soda, and then I just got some Bullet Rye on the rocks over here as well.
Jesus, you are ready?
Are you serious? You need more liquid?
Than I do. Gonna have to stress.
I mean, I am the beer wolf. You know that,
well,
right?
Like, I do.
The
fridge
that I just opened has your beer wolf sticker on it.
Sick.
You know that.
Oh, I need to get one of those. Is the beer podcast still going? Is it just kind of comes and goes?
You know, as you know, Mr. Gluck here, it's for me, my podcast, beer, it's an acronym for because everybody enjoys Roadrunners. It's something, it's the only thing I own. Like I get to work with my friends, which is great, but I work for Formula Drift. I work for Hot Wheels. I work for Nitro Rallycross. I work for Harley, Snap-on. My podcast is the only thing I own. I didn't want to resent it. So in 21, even during COVID times, I flew 110,000 miles. Like I traveled a lot. That's just domestic because I didn't go international because we couldn't. But I say this because the last one I did was with Jonathan Sieber of Porsche Classics, formerly of Recaro and Momo and all that. Anyways, and then it just kind of – I just didn't find it convenient. But, you know, I enjoy the format. I think it's great. I like talking, obviously, and conversing with people. So it'll come back just such as yourself, right? You kind of
100%
got to reboot it, got to make sure, you know, you're all good.
Yep, that's very – very much how it went happen. And I would like to point out, I believe you are the only Shift Talkers competitor to drink on the episode.
Oh,
that's not true.
Oh, right.
You drink too?
Oh, yeah, but I just concealed it. I drink vodka soda as ice water.
Well, I think Jared got up and like went and got a bottle and did like slug from the bottle.
Because we were on that first episode together.
Yeah.
I was just like, it was like 9 a.m. and I'm like, I had two matching glasses, one with ice water, one with vodka soda.
It wasn't the Christy Lee episode, was it? I don't remember. Okay. Because she was sick in her closet, we found out afterwards. Yeah.
Christy won, didn't she?
Yeah. But Jared was on again, and he won his second time.
I won the second time, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, with what's homeboy, the truck, the...
You were with KJ?
Yeah, KJ.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of shift talkers.
Shift in the talk. So what do you see as the potential evolution for the sport, or should it be content to where it is now? Like, will electrification play a factor?
100% electrification. I think that'll play a major role just given the manufacturers. And admittedly, you know, manufacturers have come and gone supporting Formula Drift or drifting as a sport. But, you know, coincidentally, when Michael Essa won the championship, BMW sent him a letter and says, please do not acknowledge your vehicle as a BMW. They like denounced him winning. But you see any BMW manufactured commercial, they are all drifting.
They set the drifting world record.
It's silly, bro.
It's insane.
Was that car BMW powered? Was it like?
Yeah. Essa is on brand. He is matching chassis to engine.
He needs to switch.
Yeah. So anyways, in regards to the evolution, what I'd like to see is manufacturers support it more. Building, I'd like to see a spec class. I think that would be, you know, I think that'd be really advantageous of a manufacturer if it is Ford and the Mustang, or if it's the 86 of Toyota. Electrification. I remember Reese always talking about jumps. I don't think jumps is necessary because it's cool to see at Ebisu and I saw like there was a drift competition that just happened. Like I think Clutch Kickers is going to do some jumps or something like that. I think that's cool. It's novelty. Formula Drift needs to be, you know, I think we're in the heyday right now of Formula Drift. The cars don't need any more horsepower. They need to be approachable, bonkers, silly. But you see somebody like Jeff Jones go out there and shine. That's awesome. You know what I mean? That's great. And going up against Von Gittin Jr. and your Frederick Osbos and all that. So and Forsberg and Turk. And so I like what all the drifters are doing. I mean, if you look at the top five Formula Drift drivers, their social media following is larger than all of NASCAR. You know, it's insane.
That's like, crazy.
Right? I mean, so there's something to be said about, you know, what they're doing during competition, then also what they're doing, you know, like Turk, for instance, you know, the Formula Supra or the GT4586, all those, you know, here's Forsberg with the Ultimaniac. I mean, come on, son. Those dudes are doing some amazing stuff, you know? So
I think there's, you know, accessibility to the stars, the athletes of FD is a huge advantage over other forms of motorsport. Like other than NHRA, like I can't think of any other motorsport. We can just walk in the pits. Like every ticket has a pit pass. You can just walk in, meet your favorite driver, like see what's going on between rounds and like touch and taste and smell, like the action.
That's a special VIP. You could touch and taste. Like that's, I don't know what full access pass you got there, Lucas Black. Okay. You need to relax. Lucas Whack is more like it. You sicko.
As a sponsor, I have, you know, certain privileges,
but, right.
No, like
I need a little taste.
NASCAR, like, you know,
you want to drive for us? I need a little taste.
Come on, tell daddy where it hurts. Show me on the doll. Show me on the doll.
I meant taste their beers, their, you know, energy drinks.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
Brought to you by Rich Energy, the new Rich Energy of shift talkers.
I'll take their money as a joke. I like your idea of a spec class because that could open it up for maybe some drivers who now have moved on to higher level manufacturer support to come in a role where, yeah, they're going to be competitive, but the main show will still be the younger talent. But then you could have like a Reese, maybe a Hubinette if Dodge needed to find a way to get back into the game. Tanner obviously could come in with some electrification if they could do like a drift ID4, though, you know, you'd have to have the rules to make sense because that's an all-wheel. Well, no, there's a rear-wheel drive one actually. But yeah, your idea. And then like if Vaughn's like retired, he could come out and do an electric spec class and, in a Mach-E.
It's a hiatus. He's taking a year off. Yeah. Adam LZ jumps behind the wheel. He was very adamant about saying he's not retiring.
Exactly. Oh, He's just kicking back to find ways to make even more money. Good for
him. Well, so speaking of, I mean, if he's been pretty open and transparent about it, and I'm sure, you know, he's been open about it. Ford is investing a lot in electrification. There's a big opportunity there. So that's, I mean, you look at the Faroe Islands video that our boy Sam Nalvin wrote, directed, edited, all that stuff. That was Ford's big foray. And like, look at that. So here's, talk about evolution and what we foresee here, all of us collectively, and I appreciate you asking me, just being there. But thinking back to when drifting was just a bunch of punk kids and Corollas and S13s, and then Vaughn, obviously, in 05, jumps behind the wheel of Mustang. He is Ford's guys. Ever since Ken left, you know, a year and a half ago now, right? Yeah. He is Ford's dude. So I am so proud of just the sport and just the evolution of, you know, you look at Vaughn and RTR. I mean, he's the next Carroll Shelby. I mean, when I saw Ford versus Ferrari, I thought of Vaughn immediately. Like, I was so proud to see this dude that we partied our face off, you know, Costa Rica. I can't remember where we were, but we partied all over the world. And here's this gentleman that's becoming a father, a businessman. I mean, he has 30 some odd employees. Actually, I'm going to be with him in St. Louis this weekend. It's talk about evolution and talk about a respected bunch of drivers. It's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really exciting to see.
A little bit of inside baseball, though. From what I understand from my limited interaction and, you know, conversations with people behind the scenes with the electric, like, demo vehicles, it seems like they're somewhat hard to kind of modulate throttle. It's like that seems to be the biggest issue with electrification, EV, like, conversion to drifting specifically. Like, it's like all or nothing, and that makes it somewhat difficult, like, to kind of tame and translate to the sport. Is that,
well, they just, the engineers are still figuring that side out. So I think it'll be good testing ground for the spec, you know, right. Spec class could be much more interesting than Formula E, where, you know, you turn them into potentiometers. You know, it's not a throttle pedal, it's a potentiometer, it's, you know, how much juice are you giving it? And then it's just like how they've had to fine tune electronic power steering, which Ford has done a really good job of that lately, and the others are catching up or doing well. I think if it was a spec class, like Jared said, and then the automakers approached it as, if it was like a heavily automaker backed spec class, that could be potentially real. I mean, you could even have Jaguar in it, you know, which would be insane. But it is better to have more approachable brands, even though Jag would be cool to see. It is very cool to have Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyota, you know, whoever wants to do it. Hyundai could get into it.
Right. I would actually look at it more like, and just, you know, I would look at it more like the Toyota Celebrity Race that they had for multiple years. Make, one manufacturer. Yeah, they support it.
Okay.
And it's because what I'm thinking is it's,
like they, one manufacturer provides the cars, and talent really sets the field.
Yep. I think that would be cool. I think that's a good, what I think it's going to do is give access. It's arrive and drive for some certain people. It's going to teach, you know, some awesome driving. It's going to put manufacturers on the map that are building the FR setup, which is awesome. And then it's also going to showcase and highlight how well the pro drivers and the pro spec, which is, you know, obviously the minor league of pro, how well they drive. So I think it's a good evolution, and a manufacturer could really shine. And, you know, just like the spec tires of pro spec, you know, and that's where my head's at. But, you know, I actually spoke with Ryan Sage, the co-founder of Formula Drift and now president as of 2022. Sage, we were talking about just keeping it consistent, man. 8 rounds of Formula Drift, it's manageable. It's sure, realistic from the manufacturers and the companies that support the series that are down for it, down for the cause. Logistically, the tracks we're going to, because we like our medium size venues. You know, outside of St. Louis, you know, you got to look at Long Beach. We sell that out. You know, Irwindale, perfect event if we could have. Hate Orlando. It's just hot and it's just miserable. You know, the bathrooms are always dirty. They're always so dirty. They're just trash, bro. Florida man's a real thing. You know, your Florida man mascot is, you look up your birthday and then just type in Florida Man, and that's your Florida Man Spirit. Oh, great. Animal, by the way. So
I have to literally fly to Orlando Airport Thursday night.
Oh boy. Yeah. Look out for that bath salts.
The last time I was at that airport, I was leaning against a big potted plant in the airport texting, waiting for someone to pick me up. And I felt something on my shoulder and I brushed it away and it was a cockroach.
Sick.
Yep. And it was huge.
Yeah.
And I got skeeved out just thinking about it. Can't wait to go.
Absolute personal nightmare right there.
Yep. It was. I had a meltdown.
One time I felt like a piece of meat when I landed in Orlando.
Shit off, I'd be like Ricky Bobby. Like upside down.
That's basically what was happening. And then I saw it was scurrying away, and like two janitors who worked there looked at it and laughed at the size of the bug. I was like, what the fuck?
It's like Joe's apartment. How about that reference?
Yes, that's a hell of a reference.
Go ahead, kids. Look up Joe's apartment.
That's MTV heyday shit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was
dude, Liquid Television, Aeon Flux.
I was going to go watch some Aeon Flux later. Hell yeah.
Where this is going.
You had an awakening as a young man watching Aeon Flux.
Fun story about Orlando. I landed and it was like an LGBTQ. There was something that was going on in Florida when I landed. And a bunch of bears were hanging out together, and that's
like Pride weekend.
It was Pride weekend or something. Yeah, something was cracking, and just these dudes that look like me, but they were right. gay, and there was like five or six of them just kind of talking, and I'm going past the luggage thing, and I'm grabbing my stuff, and it was like chicka-chicka. All these dudes just like all their heads turned at me, and I felt like a piece of meat, and I was like, this is okay. Now I see, you know, the roles have been reversed. It was, and it, you know, still made me feel good. I still got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Nice.
It was good.
Nice. Is there a sport or event you'd like to announce that you don't do now? And why is it the Waste Management Phoenix Open?
Oh, God. That's a great one. I have been to that and it's a party. Oh, my God. Have you guys
been? Oh, you have been to it?
Oh, yeah.
Which hole is it that's the big hole?
16.
16.
But now it's bled over. So for those that don't know, what my man Jeff here is saying is the Waste Management Phoenix Open, they call it the Wasted Open. So Waste Management, the trash company, sponsors an event. It's a golf tournament, and it's a party. So kind of like how the Long Beach Grand Prix is a party. Some people happen to watch racing, maybe a little bit. The Waste Management Open happens in February. It's the same weekend as Super Bowl Sunday, right? So the whole week is festivities. Wednesday is the like celebrity pro-am. So they get pros and, you know, team them up with Darius Rucker or something like that. So that's Wednesday. But then obviously there's a legit tournament. And notably, like hole 16, it's progress. Talk about progression. That seems to be the crazy. That's the word of the day is progression. So speaking of Pee Wee Herman and old school references. So hole 16 used to just have kind of some bleachers, you know, kind of some surrounding. Now it's a 3 to 4 story.
It's a
custom built structure around a par 3 hole. And basically it's like, it's not quiet. Like Ricky Fowler is like one of the like most loved and hated kind of golfers, but he's a bro. He can ride motorcycles and he's dope. But like the fans are chanting Big Rick Dick, Big Dick Rick, Big Dick Rick. And then, you know, a lot of players went to ASU. So they're just chanting like, get in the hole. And like, it's insane. And then they have the caddies that race. So the caddies that carry the bags, they drop and run to the hole. It's insane. And then now it trickles over to hole 17, 18, which are par 4 and par 5. And
to finish out the round?
Yeah. Well, there's 3 or 4 level structures. There's the bay club. And then there's the beach, the greenskeeper over here. Dude, it is awesome.
And it's touted as – because typically for those who don't watch golf, which I get it. I used to play and I don't play golf anymore. and Jared loves golf. Mm-hmm. Golf events are quiet. You hear the birds chirping. You hear the very hushed, usually a British announcer, the Masters, the pageantry
of
it all.
You have to check your phone at the Masters. Like, you're not allowed.
Yeah, the Masters is on another level. The Waste Management Phoenix Open couldn't be the more polar opposite. It is touted as the loudest event in golf. They have concerts. They have fucking, like, normally there's a joke where, like, there's always the annoying guy when someone tees off and they all, like, the first one to yell, get in the hole or something like that. It's annoying and it's a joke at some events. At this hole, they scream it, like, while they're swinging. Like, it's
wild. The players are saying, like, make some noise, let's go. It's so sick. And it's a party. Like, admittedly, so I've gone multiple years. And I like going Wednesday because it's, like, pro-am. You get, you know, and – you know, you need passes to get to 60. You need to know people to get into the right spot. The greenskeeper, this, that, and the other thing. I love that we're talking about golf. This is what I did this on Smoking Tire podcast. I did it like, and I went on a golf podcast and we hardly talked about golf. We talked about cars. So I just love the juxtaposition. And that's kind of the way my life is. I took my father-in-law and literally it was probably around 1 or 2 in the afternoon on a Wednesday. And I took him and we're walking around hole 18 near the clubhouse, like, right? So the green, there is probably a 60-year-old woman just splayed out like a dead body, like basically a chalk drawing around her, shmammered. It's 1 or 2 in the afternoon and she was just lit. It was
nobody's awesome. Claiming her. They just left her to...
Dude, RIP.
It's like that famous, there's like, what is it? Like a rugby event? No, it's like a horse race in Australia where the photos come out every year where it's like their version of the Kentucky Derby, but it's like everybody's dressed up, but everybody's fucking shattered. Like people splayed like a war zone. It's like the opening to Saving Private Ryan. Like with actual body parts, probably because it's Australia and
they do whatever.
Know, there's always photos every year of like these people in fancy clothes with like puke on their shirts and shit. Yeah. I played golf in high school. I played a little bit after. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I wanted to do other things with my weekend. But I do appreciate the idea of golf. I've never wanted to go to a golf event to watch a tournament, but I would go to this one.
100%. You'd love it. And I've been. I remember, you know, going Wednesday or going Saturday and even going on Sunday, which is obviously the closing day and that's whoever wins. And it's just a party, man. And then you leave Sunday and you go home and then the Super Bowl's on. That's how they schedule it. And it's dope. Like I remember the year, again, the Super Bowl was in. So, and it's also kind of around Barrett Jackson, like Arizona just blows up around February and March because March, you start getting spring training, which is Cactus League, right? And then you get Barrett Jackson, you get the Waste Management Open, you get it's fire, it's so good.
You're gonna convince me to move to Arizona, shit,
right?
Well, no, he moved back. He moved back.
He's giving Airbnb for a month
into his.
Well, now I'm in California, so everybody's like, "Wait, you moved from Arizona to California?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, wanted to pay more taxes, and there was no traffic coming into California." Yeah,
we got to organize some kind of like spec golf cart race to like combine the two passions here.
Well, Larry Chan's supposed to hook me up with EasyGo because he works with Textron, and they own like, you know, Textron or and they own Easy. They have like 7, you know, powered brands, like including airplanes. And Larry's like, "Yo, we're gonna build." And I'm like, "Yo, hook it up.
Let's go."
Right?
It's funny because there's I'm going to Florida I'm going to Mecum. And the only thing that I could possibly afford, someone is auctioning off an EasyGo golf cart. I'm like, yo, Friday night, lot 221, I got this.
I bet you can find a Fiero or a Fiero kit car.
Nah, dude, it's all pretty fancy shit. And I'm not going there to buy cars. I'm going to Mecum because my best friend from Boston, he's auction. I think I've said this on the podcast before, but for Jared's knowledge, my like best friend, his dad had a lot of cars and a lot of bikes, and he would occasionally fly me to Mecum to help him pick what to buy and sell. He passed away from cancer a couple of years ago, and in the process, before he died, he sold off like half his shit, and then the two sons are slowly selling off more of it as they want to. Like, there's a few that they're going to hold on to. They have a couple gems in there, but there's two. I believe they're C1s. They might be C2s, but I think they're C1 Corvettes. They have two of them, and they're going to auction them both off for charity.
Sick.
That's awesome. So, like, they're not – I don't even think they're taking a profit on them. There's full charity cars towards a cancer charity. So I'm going to that. I got a press pass, and it was funny because I was talking to the press officer of Mecum because they used to work with a third-party agency back in the day where it'd be like, "Hey, I want to go to this auction." They're like, "Yeah, sure. Here's some media passes." Now it's like, "Hey, I don't really know you, but let's chat. Let's figure out who you are," because it's like an in-house person. He's like, "We got this car going off. We got this car going off. What's your story angle? Do you want to cover this? We have." I'm like, "Yo, I just want to go have beers with my buddies." And, like, I didn't tell him that, but like, I told him the story about the two cars going across. And one of them is a Saturday, I think a TV car on Saturday. So we'll be on the stage as it goes off. But my buddy who's going, he's like, "Dude, do you need gold passes? Because it's like regular bidder or gold bidder." I was like, "Well, I got the media passes." But the thing they added that they never used to do in the years I went before, the gold bidders now, there's an open bar off the stage. Duh. I'm like, "Yo, get me a gold pass just in case."
Yeah, dude.
So just a bit of history. And I don't know that this is the same in the post-COVID world, but Mecum 2019 – Mika Monterey 2019. Me and a bunch of my friends, we just walked in the back entrance, like literally where the cars roll off the stage. We just happened to walk up that way and we didn't have any passes. We were willing to pay. We're like, you know, like we just like don't know what to do to like get in. Like we just happened to walk up this driveway and one of our friends like found a pass as we were walking up just on the ground. And he shows this one pass for the four of us. We literally walk all the way up to the stage. As cars are rolling by, like we're on camera and shit. And we're just like, this is probably not where we need to be. Like
that's awesome.
Let's just like integrate. Like let's get in like the crowd and like pretend like we belong here.
And you straight did. I'm with the DJ.
Straight to the bar.
You did Wayne's World.
Open bar, free drinks, and it's like, okay, yeah, we're settled in here. Like we're good. It's like you literally just like nod and act like you belong, and you know.
Well, it was funny.
He's like, okay, not gonna question it.
This PR guy was like, yeah, just so you know, I don't know what you're going to try to shoot or take photos of because Motor Trend, Discovery Plus are going to be there shooting and you know, they're real sensitive. I'm like, sure. Like, I mean, go check the on demand and scroll the shows.
Did you flex your Motor Trend? Might find one.
But, yeah.
I am Jeff. I'm Jeff G from the host from the hit show Shift Talkers. So you might just want to shift out of your shift your face.
He's like, I know who you are. He's like, where's your season three, bitch?
Well, that's not hosted by Jared Deanda.
He's like, my sheet says I'm looking for a different host. So Jared, besides golf, cars, your love of family and mid-century modern aesthetics, you're a fan of the tattoo.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any that you regret?
My wife has a bunch that, so yeah. I need to.
That she regrets on you or that she has?
What's that?
That she regrets on you or that she regrets
no,
on her?
She has like four, I think she has five like on her ankle. Like we have some matching ones and some others. I have tattoos that she regrets that I got.
Sure.
So I have to do a rights and clearances before I get any tattoos now. One that I love, and it was fairly early on, but I was announcing a drifting sanctioning body. Oh my gosh, it's going to escape my mind right now. But it was kind of like a upstart. It was, oh gosh, what was it called?
Doesn't matter.
There were like five rounds, and I was traveling with Chris Forsberg, his then wife, Michelle Forsberg, Matt Petty, Tim Johnsrud, and so basically we'd all travel together and we would always get pupusas as our meal. All of our locations, we find a pupuseria, which if you don't know what
Ecuadorian.
El Salvadorian. Yeah. It's got masa and you throw, you know, meat, beans, cheese, and then it has cabbage with nice salsa on top of it. It's really good. So in Seattle, of all places, we all decided to get, if you've ever seen the movie Better Off Dead you've never seen Better Off Dead? John Cusack. And he works at a burger spot. Yeah, look it up. Go and look it up. And there's a hamburger and he plays the Van Halen guitar. I say all this because it's like an animated claymation stop motion burger. And he's got hands and arms. We all got tattoos of a pupusa animated like that. But then five of us, and it says Pupusa Posse. It's on my right shoulder blade. And I remember my oldest son, Parker, who's now 15, he was like probably four or five, and we're in the hot tub.
He's only
15? Yeah, my oldest son's 15. Jesus, I know. He's 6'1", bro. He just walked past us. He just got out of water polo. Yeah, he's big boy.
Hey, Dad, I'm home from water polo.
Hey, Dad. Hey, make me dinner. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Dad, give me a beer.
Dad, give me a beer. We got Pupusa Posse. Anyway, so Forsberg was over like at my house in Arizona. Like, again, this is like 10 years ago or so. He's like, hey, my dad has the same waffle tattoo you have as well. Because he's had it on his back. But and then now, like, I've been over in New Zealand and I'm trying to like I'm getting a tattoo. And I was like, yeah, I wanted to get like what's the You Shall Not Pass, like Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to get like a wizard. So I'm trying to call her, message her. It's like time difference. She wasn't up. I was like, YOLO, like, let's do it. And I got a wizard. She's like, cool. Didn't know wizards were on the list that I didn't want you to get, but I got it. So it's fine. Like, I'm at the point now. She doesn't really care, but obviously I wouldn't. My next tattoo, and I told this to our boy Matt. I can't remember. I told a lot of people right now, but I just go on multiple records. I want to get YOLO with three L's because it's you only live, laugh, love once. I really want to get that.
Oh, that's I'm just adding this in right here, so I remember the title of this episode. Hold on. Hanging,
yeah. If you have stickers on your walls, Ron, which I know you do, you know, you are
the stickers on my walls.
Right.
I have movie posters and tire posters. I have Smokey and the Bandit, Steve McQueen, and Le Mans 24 movie poster.
But oh my God, you know I'm totally joking. But
I know.
By the way,
please tell me that tattoo's real though.
Which one? YOLO?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm gonna get it.
Okay. That's the funniest shit I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. Well, it's funny because our boy Sam Nalvin, we always talk about like live, laugh, love. And we've stayed at multiple Airbnbs on Snap-on shoots. And it's always like stickers on walls, like, you know, home, you know, house is a home and dogs and wine and all that crap. But speaking of Steve McQueen, Ron, you'll appreciate this. Last year when I was flying, I did a refresh and watched Cool Hand Luke, which I haven't seen in quite some time. And Cool Hand Luke, amazing Steve McQueen film. And in the movie, he's just a badass. He kind of reminds me of my grandpa, and also Steve McQueen, notably, was
in the Great War. Was World War II.
Yes. Right? Yeah. So he was at Stalaglove II, my grandpa was, which is where the Great Escape actually literally happened.
Oh, that's it.
So wow. the actual Great Escape happened prior to my grandpa going into the Stalaglove II POW camp. And they were still taking bedboards, so they had other tunnels they were actually building. And when I watched Cool Hand Luke, thinking of my grandpa Steve McQueen, he's just a badass, right? Oh, you cool, Luke. I don't know if you – and people watch that. I encourage you to watch. Well, he wears a church key around his neck. So I now wear a church key. And this – actually, I just got this one as a gift, but this is a brand called Good Art. My boy Josh Werner, they're handmade in USA and in LA. This is sterling silver church key, so it's kind of baller.
I didn't know – I've never heard of a church. I've heard of a church key, but I didn't know what it looked like.
Old way to open beer.
It's a bottle opener.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's a bottle opener. But the kind of the slang for it is they call it church key.
Yeah, some of the older ones too used to have not just bottle. The older ones too used to have you would punch where they didn't have pull tabs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like actual cans.
Yeah, there was a brand of like a hipster brand a couple years ago called Church Key. Where that sold it that on top, right. Just because it was very hipstery to sell a modern beer that way.
Yeah, no, totally.
The romanticized idea of a church key is very cool.
I have a good friend that will remain nameless, but he refers to exotic dancing temples as church.
Oh, we know so, we know who that is.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. No. It's not Mike. Mike is shit.
Yeah, he's unapologetic.
Like,
about it.
The Booty Club, like Killer Mike, like is it a. Frequent guest of the Blue Flame Lounge, which is
Blue Flame.
Less than a mile from my home in Atlanta, but and where I grew up. And my dad was actually really good friends with the Cato family who owns the Blue Flame Lounge. But I wasn't talking about him.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the Claremont.
He texted me, when are we going to church? And it's like, well, when are you in town? Like, where are we going? What's even open these days? You know, it's like
all-you-can-eat buffet at church. That's what we do, right?
Wow. Yeah, wow.
Fair times.
So do you have any car tattoos or are car tattoos a bad idea?
Car tattoos are not. I don't think I have any car tattoos. I seriously don't know. I have great memoriam ones, but I don't think Parker. Do I have any car tattoos? Parker's over here eating, and he's Parker. What? Don't hurt me. I don't have any car tattoos. I've always said no logos.
Yeah. Right.
Never my wife's name. Yeah. And then no car tattoos.
Your wife's name? Like at this? Like
I have a lot of symbolism. So every year I'd get so. You know, there's different materials for anniversary. Like right. Wood is 5 years, 11 is steel, or you know. So I have multiple of my wife and I symbolism. So I have like a wood heart for 5 years. So this year we'll be married 20 years, actually. So,
congrats, dude.
Yeah, thanks, man. So yeah, a lot of symbolism. Obviously, my kids' names. I have mom on my chest. I got that on my 40th birthday because obviously it was my birthday, but my mom brought me into this world 40 years prior. I got one for Jesse Combs. I got a cool leaf.
Oh, really?
Not a leaf, but a feather. But yeah, I mean, I've been tattooed. Dude, crazy story about tattoos, travel, car, all that stuff. I flew to Malaysia. it was Halloween. I dressed up like Wreck-It Ralph, my oldest son. Now he was Fix-It Felix, which is totes adorbs. It was one of my favorite costumes. Dressed up, took him to a few houses, then caught a flight. It was 24 hours door to door for me to leave my door and then finally get to my hotel in Malaysia. I hit I didn't go to the hotel because I went straight to the track. Announced qualifying for Formula Drift Southeast Asia. That night, went out, ate local, drank local, got tattooed local, got a Borneo rose on my back, which is kind of a traditional like black spiral. It's if you look at Borneo roses, it's about travel and becoming a man, all that stuff. So my balls dropped on that trip. And then got that tattoo, went and announced the next day, which was game day for Formula Drift in Malaysia, and then got a plane that night. I was literally in the air longer than I was on the ground in Malaysia. But
Jesus.
Ate local, drank local, tattooed local, baby.
Damn. What's the toughest spot you've had inked up?
My calf. My buddy did, actually speaking of my grandpa, he did my grandpa's flight squadron, which he's in the 365th flight squadron called the Hellhawks. Pretty dope one. Pretty dope name. My calf, it just hurt like a biatch. Yeah, it hurt.
Because I'm
like behind your knee or your actual calf?
Like calf, like the muscle.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. It's always the spots you don't expect because you probably weren't thinking.
I've always heard, like, I have one tattoo and it's whack, but I drew it. But, like, I drew a bunch of tattoos for my friends back in, like, early 2000s. And, like, that was my reward, was they paid for my tattoo. But, like, I always heard, like the inside of your arm, like the back of your leg, like, you know, the tender spots were like the worst.
Yeah. My first tattoo was inside of my arm. Like my, it was crazy. The first tattoo I got was Good Fortune, and it's a fortune cookie. Cause, again, symbolism, my wife and I, our wedding favors were fortune cookies. And at the time didn't believe in Christ, kind of just finding Christ and all these things. But I always say, you know, I don't believe in luck. I believe in fortune. Fortune is, you know, luck is something you trip and stumble over. Fortune is a path you choose. You kind of step on the right rock so you don't fall in the, you know, bog of eternal stench, right? So Labyrinth reference right there.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got Good Fortune on the inside of my right bicep. Well, coincidentally, I was like, yeah, babe, like, you know, it'd be sick to get bad luck on my other arm. Right. She's like, okay, relax. Like, you know, and this is, I was 23. It was right before my oldest son was born. I was 23. I don't know, whatever. And I was like, yeah, let's get bad luck over here. She's like, okay, relax. Well, the next day, grandma falls down. The windshield breaks. I break my iPhone. We get in a big fight. All this shit just hits the fan. She's like, yo, go get that bad luck tattoo. Like, get your yin and your yang. So I have like a black cat that says bad luck with snake eyed dice. So it's balanced out. And then the third tattoo I got was my oldest son, Parker, and it's on my wrist. And that was from Mr. Cartoon, which is kind of dope. And that one is living in Arizona. Obviously, this is 15 years ago or so. Live in Arizona. Me and my buddy RJ, we drive out to LA to see our boy Bucky Lassick skate at X Games. So lined it up with Cartoon. Cartoon's a homie. He's like, yeah, man. It's like, I just, you know, just want my son's name, like nothing big. So we drive out, go to X Games, have some beers, no big deal. Go to Fairfax, you know, go to 100 Shop back in the day and all that stuff, right? SLB, see the homies, all that stuff. Go to X Games. Shop
in the history of retail.
What's that?
Sal Barbier's shop.
Yep.
SLB on Fairfax.
Yep.
That was like my favorite shop in the history of Los Angeles retail because
he
always had cool shit. Like, he had like a 62 like T-Bird, like Slam, like just custom with the case.
He's a big Ford guy.
Fucking dope shit. Like, I was so sad when he vacated that spot because that was like my lifestyle. It was just like, his shit was so dope. I would just go there.
Did you buy anything there though?
Of course, yeah. I was a patron of that shop.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
totally good. I mean, all this shit is like ruined with pit stains and fucking, you know, it's worn through now, but like that was 15, 17 years ago. Like
Yep.
But that was the beginning of that Fairfax retail district. Mm-hmm. SLB, the hundreds, like,
Yeah, that was before Supreme was there. There was the there was the fucked store across the street, like all that. Yeah. Yeah, Sal's a G, and the wrench. I have an old wrench S, or like a snake wrench t-shirt. And I have a few of his old shirts. My son's now wearing them because my son, he bought some jeans today. He looks like I did, and he looks like the movie Mid-90s, right? That new movie Mid-90s about skating.
It's so dope.
Yeah. So anyways, the cartoon tattoo. So go see Bucky skate. No big deal. All that stuff. And then my appointment was at like 10 p.m. And he's down there in Skid Row area next to the L.A. gun range, right? L.A. shooting range. And go in there and he's like, oh, I'm going to be a little longer. I said, okay, cool. Can I just go grab like some food and a bottle of booze and just hang out here? He's like, yeah, no problem. So go do that. Come back. Wasn't Liddy or anything like that. Wasn't crazy. Had a good carne asada burrito. Had some Jack and Coke. Just chilling. Anyways, cartoon. It's on my right wrist, right? So he does it in red pen, does it in Sharpie, and then starts tattooing. Well, does the outline, does halfway the shading. I mean, the total tattoo, if he just did it nonstop, 45 minutes, maybe. Halfway through the shading, I'm like sitting in the chair. I was like, wow, dude, this is crazy. Like, I got a son and like all that. And the room just starts closing in.
Oh no.
And I fucking pass out. I pass out. I pass out. And it was just a combination of woke up mega early, had a few drinks, but again, not Liddy. Getting tattooed by cartoon, having a son, like all of this culminated into me just passing out. And then cartoon just peaced out and he had boxing after that, like at midnight or something. And then he's like, dude, it's always the big dudes. And he told me a story about this massive cholo where he's literally drawing on like the nape of his neck, you know, behind his hairline right there, you know, the, what some people would call like the hot dogs, right? The hairy hot dogs. So he was sharpieing on the back of his neck, big cholo, hard gangbang. He passes out just sharpieing.
Just sharpieing? Tattooing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, it's always the big dudes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a fun story, though. I ask because I'm trying to plan the inner portion. I got the outer of my upper arm done a couple months ago, and I'm now planning to finish the inner part. So,
what do you have? What's
I got like a whole piece that, you know, symbolism, like you said, it's a mix of American traditional with a little bit of realism, and there's some family odes and travel odes, and I'll send you a picture after we're done. But it's funny because you mentioned the kamikaze with Ken Gushi, because there's a sunset on it, and somebody commented that it looks like the Japanese rising sun, and that could be offensive to some people.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, well, my Japanese tattoo artist, I mean, that was his decision to do it that way, and right. So
you got canceled, bro. Again,
yeah, Lucas
Black, Rising Sun. I mean, gosh, damn, dude, it's 2022, Jeff.
My dad, who was in the Navy for 20 years, looked at it and didn't say, "Oh, what is that?" He's like, "Cool," and he hates tattoos.
Right. Well, I have we talked about my grandpa a lot, and obviously, he's the most impactful male in my life. My grandpa Ralph, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph F. Kling, RIP. When I got his plane on my arm, he was like, that is awesome. He loved it. Cause I have the Army Air Corps like on my right forearm, and then his plane on my, and then and he loved it. He was with it, but yeah. Skin to win. Here, Ron, this is the VVIP that you're talking about. Touch, yeah. Taste, smell, yeah, the sixth sense.
I thought this was pay-per-view. I thought we
oh.
had
to, oh, that's yeah. dope. Who's that?
I mean, it's not going to translate on a webcam.
Who did that?
That was good.
His name is Taka Tamada.
Okay.
He owns a place called Kitsune Tattoo Club in downtown. Oh.
Bro, I forgot that's where you got tattooed and Jonathan Klein.
Yeah, Klein is the one who sent me there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Kitsune is the name of my Mustang because
I know. I know.
Fox in Japanese.
Yeah.
What is his name? Who is it?
Taka Tamada. I'll send you a link. His work is pretty sick. He mostly does Japanese style tattoos, but then he can also, like, I've seen occasionally he would do realist. I'm like, his realism is amazing too. And he combined both of it, and it was pretty sick. He's a very interesting dude. He played in a band early on, and like he was on like the cover of like GQ Italy back in the day. And the band is actually, they're not together anymore, but they were really good. He studied music in Berkeley. Very interesting guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have anybody you want to get tattooed by?
No, I'm going to do the second half by him as well. I don't have there's a couple artists I like in Orange County, but all I want is the other half of my arm done, and then I'm good. I've wanted a half sleeve for like years and years and years and years, and then my plan was to get it for my 40th birthday. COVID stopped that, so I got it in between 40 and 41. Yeah, I got it after 41, so yeah. I, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm a collector because I have cartoon. I got Dr. Wu.
Oh,
yeah, I have. Well, the one of the I love that we're talking about tattoos because I don't really talk about them that often, to be quite honest. But my left arm is all done by outside of my inside bicep, but like my chest, and it goes all the way full sleeve because I went half sleeve and then I went full a few years ago, or probably 5 or 6 years ago. But it's your favorite tattoo, you know, like in rap music, they're like, yo, that's your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. So my left arm is your favorite tattoo artist's favorite tattoo artist. It's done. It's this dude, no Instagram, nothing. He's kind of this skatey white kind of hippy dippy, lives in Tempe, Arizona. His name's Mike Roper, R-O-P-E-R. And he's like super legit, like one of the best, if not one of the best Japanese traditional artists in the States. Like, that's super awesome. Dope. But like I have so many. I want to get tattooed by Scott Campbell. We keep messing around. Scott Campbell did like Travis Scott's head and like the Madden brothers. He did a collab with Pirelli, collab with Louis Vuitton, but he's just a dope pirate. Like, his story is wild. Look up Scott Campbell. He was the dude that did those like almost 3D sculpt of like a skull cut out of money, like the blank money. It was like a skull or like a gun or something. And he did an art show down in Mexico and the dude didn't pay him. So he went down there to this show and he just kind of had a meeting. They're like, yo, you pay me now. Like, he's American. I think he's from New York. And he's just like, yo, you pay me now or I'm taking all of that art and I'm throwing it in the street and setting it on fire. Kind of like lallygagged all this thing. He's like, yo, boop. Went downstairs, like the gallery, I might be paraphrasing here, but went in the gallery, took all the shit, took it outside, lit it all on fire. That's a G. I love right?
it. Damn.
Yeah. Scott Campbell's a G. He had a shop called Save Tattoo in New York, and then he moved to LA. He has a couple daughters. He was married. They recently got a divorce to Lake Bell, the actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's
interesting.
Fuck, the world is circles around, because then Lake Bell was on a show with Dax Shepard, yep. And I wrote all the car shit for season one of his Top Gear.
You know, I'm supposed to be a host on Top Gear, right? Yeah, that I was
there's like 20 people who are supposed to be a host on Top Gear.
But I'm kind of thankful because one, like, time, and it was kind of weird and all that stuff, right? And then they were like, oh, we went a different direction. And then what's his name? Who's the third
dude? Jared. Johnny and
of the current yeah. iteration.
Well,
Jethro
and Dax.
Yeah, yeah. Jethro. So they're like, we went a completely different direction. I said, yeah, you went with a British small white dude. Yes, I am tattooed big, and I don't think I can fit in half the car. So that was going to be more of the novelty of me being.
Oh, yeah.
It,
Jethro
know?
Can fucking drive. Like, that's
Jethro
yeah.
can drive.
Yeah,
the funny thing that we. Bring this up, though, is it leads perfectly to my segue of our Twitter question, who's from Rutledge Wood, who I also wrote the car shit for their last season. So
were you waiting for applause or what's going on there?
No, because he just has a question for you. Okay. I'm just saying it's a good segue. I'm impressed.
It's our fault.
I'm impressed when I can actually nail a segue, and now you guys are fucking up my segue. But here we go. Here's a Twitter question.
Insert
from
the sound effect.
From Rutledge.
Charge. That might be the best sound clip. That's a good one.
But they also have this one that's called Intro Outro, which feels like a murder podcast. So hold on. Welcome to this episode of Murders in the Only Murders in the Building. So this shit's hilarious to me. Okay, Rutledge Wood. He says, I've got a couple for Jared. First concert you've ever been to.
You're going to love this. You guys are going to absolutely love this. I went with a bunch of girls. It was my mom's friend, Sharon, and her daughters. And they were cute and all this stuff.
Nice girl.
First concert in a Volkswagen Vanagon. Dope. It was a Westfalia top. It was like a 90s Westfalia. Paula Abdul Spellbound tour.
No shame.
That's still
I was a huge Paula Abdul and Janet Jackson fan in the 80s and 90s.
So. That's Miss Jackson if you're nasty, okay? Just relax, Ron.
Exactly.
That's better than mine. My first concert.
We are a rhythm nation.
That was the worst Janet Jackson impersonation I've ever heard. What was yours, Jeff?
Nelson.
Oh, Bob.
No.
Oh, Nelson, More Than Words.
Yeah, no. More Than Words was extreme.
Tesla. That was actually Tesla.
Nelson is what?
Right?
Nelson was the three
extreme
boys,
is more than words. Nelson was the two blonde dudes.
Right.
That's right. What did they sing?
I can't even remember their
song.
Did
they sing signs everywhere?
Yeah, that's Tesla. Yeah, Signs.
Gosh damn. Okay.
I can't remember the Nelson song, but it was terrible.
Ron, so my Ron what was yours?
The first concert that I remember going to was the Jackson 5 tour in 1984.
Oh, shit. That's a good one.
Beat It. That's Beat It was my favorite song ever, and I slept through it. I woke up at the very end of it. I went with my friend Jay and his mom. I got a Michael Jackson pin that I immediately lost. I didn't even leave the premises with.
Were you drunk?
Were you crying?
Ron, who took you? Like, this explains so much.
Yeah.
Jamona!
Yeah.
Where's my pin?
I remember, what I remember was a kid my age with the rhinestone glove and like the leather jacket, like two rows in front of us. And I was just like, that kid, was set for life. Like that.
Oh, because he had the glove.
The coolest kid ever. I wish I could attain his status.
And did he have the LA gear? Did he have the Michael Jackson?
Back to our seats way in the upper deck, and I fell asleep and missed my favorite song ever.
Dude, what a kook.
Damn.
Did he have the Michael Jackson LA gear kicks on? Those were kind of fire.
I think that was later. This is 1984.
It's way before.
This is pre-Pepsi hair fire.
He was wearing the penny loafers.
Rutledge's second question. Favorite round of golf ever played?
Ooh. Bringing it full circle, you brought up the Waste Management Open, December 24th, 2018 or 19th, Christmas Eve. I want to say 2018, I think, or 2019. Played the course, which is TPC Scottsdale, and we played, again, Christmas Eve. It was kind of spitty rain. Played with my boy Bert Neal and Ronnie Krieger, if you know skateboarding. Ronnie Krieger is a pro skateboarder. Fantastic cat. Good golfer. A lot of skateboarders are good golfers. Jagger, Eaton, Sean Malto. A lot of skaters are good golfers.
It's the hockey players, though.
Yeah. Well, TJ Hunt, dude. TJ Hunt, his club speed, because he played amateur hockey, he almost could have gone like pro, but he just – his swing speed is bonkers, but Jagger Eaton too, good golfer. TPC played that Christmas Eve. It was spitting rain, and you have to have a caddy there. And we hit hole, and they start setting up like halfway through the year for that big tournament that we spoke about earlier. And we all hit three balls. None of us got it on the green in that par three. But I posted a cool video. We did sand angels in the bunker right in front of the green. So it's like we're in kind of rain gear. It's kind of spitty. Nobody was on the course. So the caddy filmed us doing, what you would call snow angels, but this is in the sand.
Are these full on four caddies too? Where they're like, yeah, you should hit a fucking seven iron.
No, dude was kind of a pirate. He's like, he was a G. Like he was down. He was down for the cause.
Okay. Favorite Formula D battle you've ever called?
Also, another great round of golf was with Rutledge Wood last year in Atlanta. We got to play a round of golf.
He was probably fishing for that answer.
I know. I love Rutledge. We're two big-headed hairy brothers.
How can you not love Rutledge?
Yeah, we're like the two opposite. We're like Velcro, but we're both the curly, hairy sides. No, but like there's no aggressiveness. Hook and loop closure, as they call it, because Velcro is a brand. You can't call it if it's not Velcro.
What course is that,
though? Oh, that's true.
It was there in Peachtree City. His homie was a member, and there's like three courses around there.
Eagles Landing?
I couldn't even tell you. But it was a blast. Wow, Jeff is just going hard on that ranch
trying
water.
To catch up to you, man. These are only like 100 calories.
Oh, what was that?
You have three alcoholic drinks in front of you. You're triple fisting.
These are like 4.7%.
Yeah, right. The best announced, the most insane battle, go and look it up. It was Jonathan Castro and James Dean in Orlando. Roll that thing, and I'm peaking, and then like Sage is like, dude, you can't, it's hard to explain. Like, here I'm at a loss for words in regards to just that run, man. It was so bonkers.
How long ago was it?
4 years ago. I couldn't tell you years and stuff. Like,
I'm writing it down so I remember to go watch it. Yeah, is Castro still running the Z then?
I thought it would have been from last year Seattle, like the JTP versus
Vaughn. Oh, that was a good one.
Wasn't that Seattle?
Yeah, I believe so. But again, my mind's like an etch a sketch sometimes. Everybody's like, dude, how'd I do? I'm like, I have no idea. I drew the picture and then I just shook it up and then it was gone.
Right.
Yeah, Castro, Dean, Orlando.
Check it out.
All right, jumping to Instagram for questions. CNC picks. How long do you think it will be until EVs enter FD? I mean, you've already had one, technically, the Camaro, right?
Travis Reeder. Yeah, Travis Reeder, the Walmart. Oh, speaking of nicknames, gun, full circle. Travis Reeder, the Walmart greeter. That one has really what's funny is he does have the emoji of like look out for falling prices on his roof, which I think he's kind of embracing it. But then I've also given him as of actually a year ago, because he went and did the St. Louis Auto Show demos with the RTR crew, Ready to Rock, Vaughn Gittin Jr. And I gave him the nickname Travis the Speed Reader. So he's not about RPMs. He's about WPMs, words per minute. That's what he's about. So he's all about like I go into the whole story of he can't walk past the library without sweaty palms. Like he gets nervous. He's around it. And yeah, so that's
nice. Has he actually competed with that EV Camaro though?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He turned tires and he qualified.
He wasn't allowed to compete at Long Beach a couple of years ago, right?
Correct.
Right. But other courses let him. Other fire departments were like, no, we know what to do.
Yeah. And what's funny is they had a Formula E race in Long Beach, and they they had a million lithium batteries checked in your luggage, and they wouldn't let one run the Napoleon Motorsports Nitto tire.
We EV don't know Corvette. How to put out this fire if it were to occur.
Right. With the higher speeds of the it was crazy.
Just throw water on it, and then you look like, and then you make a meme, and it's great.
Awesome. Lost.media 21. How do you deal with the hate you get from FD crowds? Oh, also, socks before or after shoes?
Ooh, socks before or after shoes?
I don't understand the reference.
I think he goes, okay. What? So to answer the first one, haters. I don't know what you're talking about. Like haters are just fans in denial.
I like that.
You know, and then if I'm going to put myself out there, and again, I'm absolutely blessed. Early on, I remember I would turn so many haters into fans, and this is how I did it. This is like during drifting.com and you know, all these things are going on and people are talking smack, and I would slide in the DMs and say, hey, you know what? It's very unfortunate that you think this way about me, but I'd like to meet you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a couple tickets at the thing for you, and you're going to go and pick them up, and you know, and we're going to converse. And I did that multiple times early on, just because I don't think I'm abrasive, but I'm just, you know, I'm mint chocolate chip. Some people don't like it, you know, but some people are vanilla. Some people, I always just analogously say like I'm mint chip, but some people do like me, and that's all good.
That's brilliant. That's almost falls in line. So there's this show I wanted to pitch. There was a show I wanted to pitch where it was related to internet commenters, where the show would be, I'd be the host. Every week it'd be a different journalist. We'd look at one of the reviews where someone was like, you know, say a Johnny Lieberman review where someone's like, oh, this blah, 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 this guy's wrong about this. And we take a really bad one without going into like full like racist or bigoted territory. Because my thing is, I bet if that person met Johnny in person, so like we would fly to their hometown, we'd sit down at like a diner, they'd talk, be like, well, why do you think that? Johnny's like, here's why I said this about this car. And the guy's, you know, 99 times out of 100, the other person would be like, yeah, I guess so. You know, you're totally right. And then they'd go for a ride in that car. They'd laugh. They'd have a milkshake or something. And then the one time out of 100 where the person's like, no, man, you're like, that would also make for, like, both of them would make for good TV.
Yeah, and then you knock him out and you steal his car.
Right, right. Yeah, then you Jake Paul his ass.
Yeah, and then
your car sucks.
Yeah. YOLO. And then
YOLO.
Yeah, YOLO. And then gosh damn it, the joke is lost now. Who was the host of Punk'd?
Ashton.
And then Ashton Kutcher comes out and he says, "Ah, you got punked." Yeah, so that I think that would be it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny you brought up Punk'd, because we're talking about small world shit. When I first moved to California, I was walking out of a Starbucks in Newport Beach when I was a bartender. That's all I was doing. I was walking out in the middle of the day, and Dax Shepard was walking in because he was that dude from Punk'd.
Yeah.
And I stopped and I was like, oh, hey, man, you're real funny on that show. He's like, oh, thanks. I really appreciate it. And that was that. And then however many years later, I'm like writing shit for him to say.
That's so sick.
I don't even remember him on Punk'd. I don't know what I remember him from.
Well, that's like what made him. That's like what got him in the people's public eye. Yeah.
That MTV era is so distant. It's like almost 20 years now. Like, I don't even remember.
That's when they had music videos on there. And Dax always talks about the Justin Timberlake one being like, holy crap, where like the dogs died and all that stuff. I love Dax. The podcast is, I loved it early on, and then it kind of seems a little wash, rinse, repeat right now. I want to meet Dax. Like, because again, I think I was like one of the seven finalists, but I had to officiate another wedding. Nate Hamilton, aka Little Tex, who competes in Formula Drift. I had to officiate his wedding in Texas. So I did a Zoom call with Rob Corddry and Dax, and I took my shirt off for him, which was pretty dope. But I was Zooming them from a hotel room, and they liked me. But Dax will unapologetically always say this. He's really concerned about height. So he's like, how tall are you? I said, you know, 6'3", 6'4", you know, on a good day. He says, ooh, I need to be the tallest one.
You need to stand.
I've got offline stories we can talk about.
I want to meet Dax. So, but
I don't love the podcast.
I saw him on at American Rag in LA one time as well.
On La Brea.
Yeah, on La Brea. Yeah.
Hunter Jordan 04. What made you want to get into announcing it?
Great opportunity. Ryan Sage and Jim Lau. I was working at McGuire's at the time when Ryan Sage and Jim Lau gave me the opportunity. And concurrently, I parlayed it. I didn't get paid anything the first year. There were four rounds of competition, which was Atlanta, Houston, in the parking lot of the Texans stadium, Sonoma, Irwindale. Didn't get paid anything. Just parlayed it and then slowly got paid more. Now
they ran Sonoma?
Now I'm rich. Sonoma. Okay. Yeah, we had a few rounds at Sonoma. We were gonna go back there pre-COVID, which I was so hyped because we're gonna drink wine and go to Russian River.
I know, it's beautiful.
Brewing.
They have a wine bar at the top of the Sonoma's rad. That's where we wrecked our Lemons car. Josh Allen _ director. If you can answer this question, because I don't know the full details of it. What did he think of the new Drift documentary, Clipping Point?
Oh, I haven't watched the whole thing. Yeah, it's fantastic. I haven't watched the whole thing, but it's all about James Dean and his rise to the top in the Formula Drift Championship. And I love James Dean. I think he's a fantastic dude. We've partied again. It all comes down to who I've partied with.
Three-time champion.
Three-time
consecutive champion.
Back-to-back-to-back champion.
The European legacy. The European drifters seem like the nicest dudes because there was a video where Peter Wycheck, is that how you pronounce it?
Peter Wycheck. The candyman, yes, hello, daddy. Yeah.
He met up. There's a video on YouTube where you can watch him. There was a sim drift champion in Europe who got the chance to then drive Peter's car. And Peter was so excited for him for the opportunity. And he just seemed like the nicest guy.
Yeah.
It's a really cool video.
Those two are the greatest. They are really two of the nicest guys in motorsports.
They have some great offline stories as well.
Oh
man. Oh, you get a Polish and an Irish dude walking into Vegas. Say no more, fam.
Damn,
they have some videos.
And they're tall drinks of water. And I, back to nicknames again, I gave Pieter Wycheck the nickname Candyman because he looks like a character from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
That's purely the nickname
I gave him because of that. And then
I'm just thinking about those two, too, because like all the American guys who if they do drink, can probably think they can drink well. And those two walk in and be like,
cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Pieter Wycheck.
I got some videos.
Yeah, they're
a Polish dude and an Irish dude. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Last question from our friend Josh Ostrander, Mr. Steal Your Dog. Does Jared remember the time he made me ride in his lap at a golf cart at GridLife Midwest?
Nope, not at all. not in the slightest. But I will tell you, GridLife is amazing, and we started a thing called Party Bullies. And basically, if you have not been to GridLife, what happens is, you know, it's party on the track, right? Either road racing, drifting, all that stuff, all shenanigans, and then party off track with the concert and then the shenanigans and you go to Tent City. Well, we just started this thing and we would just basically go to other people's campsites and they're playing beer pong. Nope, we're playing Flip Cup. We'd take over, take the aux cable, plug in and just play whatever music we wanted to. But it, we come with an entourage and the entourage is Chris Forsberg, Ryan Turk, Von
Gittin. Right, so they're stoked.
Yeah, you're pumped. You're like, wait, what are you? You guys. Okay. And they love it. Okay. And notably, there was one time Sam was there. He witnessed it. This dude brought out one of those like 250cc margarita machines. It's like, brum, 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 you know, it has the handlebars and the rip and grip, right? The whiskey throttle. So yeah. Brum, and I was doing it. I'm running this thing. I'm like, brum, and it's making margaritas, right? And there's a great photo video montage of this. And I'm like, oh, I actually had a swag shop shirt on. It was the yellow long sleeve swag shop. And I go to take the margarita thing off. And I'm like, and I spill the whole thing all over me. Margaritas. Like it was like a hot for teacher. It was like David Lee Roth, his wet dream, but it was more Michigan and just this fat, hairy, tattooed dude that got margarita all over him. So, but yeah, grid life is
that tremendous. Should be your second business is Party Bully, just t-shirts.
They made them. They made Party Bully okay. shirts. Like it's a grid life is very quick to respond. You know, there's
I gotta go to one of those.
Oh, you haven't been to Grid Life, Ron? You've been to Grid Life, right?
I have not. I've inked deals and sponsorship deals, but I never attended a Grid Life event.
And witnessed carjackings. That was tremendous, by the way.
Yeah, I've done that. Yep.
Yeah, that's
nice. So, Jared, what's up? What's up next for you? Anything big you can talk about that's next for you?
Anything big? No. I mean, there's something I'm doing tomorrow I can't talk about publicly, right. But it'll be pretty cool. I'm psyched on that.
And he told me, and I can't tell you, and it is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Thank you. I do want to say thank you guys for having me. Yeah, I could tell you afterwards. But I also want to thank you guys. I want to thank Formula Drift. I want to thank, you know, kind of going down from the oldest to the freshest. But I want to thank Snap-on Tools. I want to thank Harley Davidson, Hot Wheels, Grid Life, also Nitro Rallycross, and just that's where I'm gonna, you know, keep smashing that like button. And
what a cool yeah, go ahead, Ron.
As a fan and a friend, like, I appreciate everything that you're involved in, and I really think you like elevate, you know, the hobby and keep all of us kind of, you know, informed as to what the industry is doing. And it's cool, man. Like, I really appreciate it. Like, keep doing what you're doing and, you know, keep promoting it because it's fun.
Lewis Black is trying to get a Party Bully shirt.
I got you, bro. Yeah, slide into those DMs. I'm gonna make the YOLO shirt.
I'm set, but I'm a fan of all of my friends in the industry.
Isn't that right?
I just love to see everybody kind of prospering and doing their own thing and like spreading their wings and
same.
Yeah.
It is great to perpetuate just the love and the empathy. And again, I watched a video today.
Can you feel the love?
I love you guys. All joking aside, with Bob Saget's death, I watched the Jimmy Kimmel video and like I was like crying at 10 a.m. Like just in my sentiments and my
unpopular what I took opinion.
What Bob I took
Saget is a cock blacking son of a bitch.
What happened?
I'm not a fan.
You're not a fan of Bob Saget?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. But I, like, this is informed by personal experiences. So,
okay.
Wow. You know,
I'm not saying he fooled the world, but I'm just saying I have a different experience with Bob Saget.
I met him once.
Yeah. I met him
for like 2 seconds. 2 seconds.
I'm not saying he was an asshole. I'm just saying he is not America's dad.
No.
So many people
Everybody knows he's body as shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, I thought that was known, but you could be talking about, it seems like you're talking about other shit.
Yeah.
Jared, where can people follow you online?
At Jared Deanda. And that's why my kids' names are Parker and Tyson. If you misspell that, shame on you. But it's you spell my name J A R O D. Last name is D E capital A N D A. on Instagram. I'm kind of archaic now. I'm not making YouTube content. I'm not doing a pod. I don't know really what I'm doing. I'm sending message pigeons, and I use an abacus now. I've just defected to old school technology, and I will send you guys a message pigeon with my Venmo details so you could pay me for this podcast. I appreciate it.
Nice. My Cash App number.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Ron is 777 style. I am at Hooniverse Jeff on everything. Next week, I'll be back from the Mecum Auctions in Florida. And we are also recording. I haven't told you this yet, Ron. We're recording with our friend Lynn Woodward. And so we will talk to you then. We'll switch it up. That'll be a different show. That's going to be a different show.
Yeah.
I just kicked my light towards me. That's going to be a different show.
This is the
result of Ranch Waters.
What do you mean by different? Like, can we just go, like, I'm triggered now.
Right? Well, Lynn doesn't drink.
Okay. Well, I mean, that has no effect on my drink.
No. We can still do it. But it's she has a different energy. She has a different energy than you. And I love Lynn. And you are two very different friends in my friend's world.
Absolutely.
And I'm gonna stop recording so we can finish our drinks.